right, beginning with question 15, refer to the Keynesian equation just above if it helps you. Also, please make the unusual assumption that changes in interest rates do not change any of the variables. Also, assume that the marginal propensity to import equals zero, and also little t in the equation equals zero. Now, the government increases both government spending and taxes by $100 billion. Choose the best answer. Well, the first point is that little t equals zero, and the marginal propensity to import equals zero, and that is little w. So therefore, the multiplier, the fraction, simplifies to 1 over 1 minus c, c being the marginal propensity to consume. Now, autonomous spending is all of the other terms, a plus I sub g plus g minus little c times t sub p plus x. And according to the Keynesian model, if there's an increase or decrease in autonomous spending, then that multiplied by the multiplier will give you the change in economic activity, the change in y. So we have a convenient simplified version of the Keynesian model, which is the change in autonomous spending, delta A, the change in economic activity, delta Y. The formula is delta Y equals 1 over 1 minus C whole thing times delta A. Now, that's the simplified version of the Keynesian model under these assumptions. We also are asked to make the unusual assumption that changes in interest rates do not change any of the variables. That is, that if interest rates go up or go down, that's not going to change gross investment. Even though you and I know that if interest rates go up, that's going to change gross investment. And also, the marginal propensity to consume, little c, is not going to be changed. Now, in our discussion of the Keynesian model, I pointed out to you that in the Keynesian model there are hidden assumptions, the principal hidden assumption being that if interest rates change, then there will be an impact on economic activity. We learned that is the case in the circular flow model, where we increase government spending, and the direct effects were to stimulate the economy, but interest rates went up, and that created an indirect effect, which depressed the economy, and those two effects, direct and indirect, balance each other out, so that the net effect was zero. And I pointed out that there is a hidden assumption in the Keynesian model that interest rates are not going to be permitted to change. Interest rates are held constant. When that happens, the Fed loses control over the money supply. And so an increase in government spending, instead of causing interest rates to go up, causes the money supply to go up, and that stimulates the economy. Bingo, the Keynesian model works. Well, in question 15, I'm giving you an alternate justification for the Keynesian model. In this alternate justification, the interest rates do change, but it has no effect on spending. And if that's the case, also the Keynesian model continues to be valid. And so, now we would have... Now, in this particular problem, we have both government spending and taxes rising by $100 billion. An increase in taxes is negative, has a negative effect, but it's multiplied by C, which is a little fraction less than 1, so the total negative effect is less than 100 billion. Government spending is increasing by 100 billion, and so the net effect on autonomous spending is the increase is larger than the decrease, a net increase in autonomous spending. That should cause interest rates to go up. But even though interest rates are going up, the economy will be stimulated anyway because we're making the unusual assumption that changes in interest rates do not change any of the variables. So question 15 is an opportunity for you to learn a second way of justifying the Keynesian model. Question 16. You may refer to the Keynesian equation above. In the Keynesian multiplier model, if exports rise by 50 billion and government spending declines by 80 billion, what will the economy do? The economy will. Well, this is a straightforward, simple application of the Keynesian model. What we have is a net decrease in autonomous spending because government spending declines by more than exports increase, and so the economy will contract if you believe in the Keynesian model. Now, question 17. In the Keynesian multiplier model, if the marginal propensity to consume falls, the economy will. And the correct answer is it will contract. Think about it. In that equation, if the marginal propensity to consume goes down, the value of the denominator of the multiplier fraction goes up, and therefore the entire multiplier fraction goes down. And therefore, economic activity goes down. All right, question 18. Quite a few people missed 18. Consider the following statements about inflation, expected inflation, and interest rates. Now, before I even begin analyzing it, of course, that should bring to mind anything you know about that relationship, and you know that nominal interest rates equal real interest rates plus expected inflation. So now let's take a look at the five possible answers. And one is, if actual inflation turns out lower than was expected, the lender loses and the borrower benefits. No, that's incorrect. The lender gains. That's in your notes, and you can review it there. Or how about this answer? If the expected inflation rate for the coming year rises from 3% to 6%, but the Fed prevents nominal interest rates from rising, then the real interest rate must have risen. No, it must have fallen. Plug into the equation, we have expected inflation, E sub I, went up by 3, but nominal interest rates are held unchanged, so therefore R, real interest rates, must go down by 3, not rise. Or the real interest rate plus the nominal interest rate equals the expected rate of inflation. No, that's incorrect. The formula is as I already gave you. And then if real interest rate is 10% for a four-year auto loan and expected inflation for the next 4 years is 5% per year, then auto loans will have an interest rate of 15%. Real rate, 10, plus expected rate, 5. Equals nominal rate 15. So that is the correct answer. Now we come to question 19. If the Fed buys treasury bills which increases reserves available to the banking system. Now, this question asks you to put several ideas together. The Fed, first of all, this Fed action, you have to know that this Fed action is going to cause a change in the money supply. And second, you have to know that changes in money supply will lead to changes in the economy using the circular flow model or using the models in the chapters. And so, thinking about that, the correct answer is interest rates will tend to decline. The supply of money will rise on balance, and the resulting excess supply of money will cause inventories to drop, therefore increasing either economic activity and or prices. Now let's take a look at a couple of the other answers. What about the last one? The money supply will actually decline along with the supply of money, leading to a reduction in economic activity or prices. Well, that's clearly incorrect, because if the Fed buys treasury bills, bathes the banking system in extra liquidity, the money supply will increase, not decrease. Another incorrect answer, the impact on the real economy is likely to be very small, since the classical assumptions are probably fairly realistic. Well, the question of whether the classical assumptions are fairly realistic or not is an interesting question, but is not one that can be answered definitively. The classical assumptions are fairly realistic under certain conditions and not under other conditions. And in the short run, when you have recessions and booms and inflation and so forth, the classical assumptions are not very realistic. But that doesn't have to do with the more fundamental question of whether there will be an impact on the real economy if the Fed buys treasury bills. But the answer is that an impact on the real economy is possible, but it's not certain. It could be that increase in the money supply will lead to inflation, or it could be that it'll lead to an expansion or a boom. Well, so there's only one correct answer. So the correct answer, interest rates will tend to decline, the money supply will tend to rise on balance, and the resulting excess supply of money will cause inventories to drop, therefore increasing either economic activity and or prices. Now we come to question 20. Question 20 was a hard question, and a lot of people got it wrong. Refer to the above equation for the money supply. Assume the following. One, changes in interest rates do not significantly alter the public's desired ratios of currency to demand deposits and currency to time deposits. Okay, that is an important simplifying assumption. If interest rates change, R sub CD will not change, R sub CT will not change. Number two, the Fed does not change any of the variables over which it exercises control. That means C sub T, T sub F, L sub F are all held constant. Also, the reserve requirements are held constant. And number three, the demand for money is inversely related to interest rates. In other words, if interest rates go up, that causes the demand for money to decline. Well, that's the first two assumptions guarantee that the money supply will not change, because the Fed is not doing anything. The third assumption guarantees that if interest rates go up or go down, the demand for money will change. Therefore, there's going to be an excess supply or excess demand for money, depending which direction interest rates go. If interest rates go up, the demand for money is going to go down, and there will be an excess supply of money. If interest rates go down, there will be an excess demand for money. So, the question, with those three assumptions, the question then asks whether an increase in government spending or a reduction in taxes, basically whether it'll stimulate the economy. Think it through. If government spending goes up, that's going to cause interest rates to go up. Under those assumptions, one through three, that will not change the money supply, but the demand for money will go down. There will be, therefore, an excess supply of money, and an excess supply of money, we already know, will lead to declining inventories and the economy will expand. So, the correct answer is, will result that an increase in government spending or a reduction in taxes will result in both an increase in interest rates and also an increase in either prices and or economic activity. The latter because of an excess supply of money. Other answers are obviously incorrect. One is, will increase in interest rates and have no impact on economic activity? Well, under our original assumptions in the circular flow model, that would have been correct. But you see, we've changed the assumptions, especially with assumption three, that the demand for money is related to interest rates, and that upsets the answers that we originally got. And we are back in a situation where an increase in government spending or a tax cut can stimulate the economy. What about the next possible answer? Will increase economic activity, because under these assumptions, interest rates will not change, and so the Keynesian model gives accurate predictions? Well, that's incorrect. An increase in government spending or a reduction in taxes will definitely change interest rates if the money supply is being held constant. We learned that when we studied that situation in the circular flow model experiments, where we increased government spending and we saw that interest rates went up. Remember that we assumed the money supply was being held constant. Another possible answer, will reduce interest rates and have no impact. No, it will increase interest rates. Or finally, will actually reduce economic activity because the rise in interest rates will reduce borrowing and therefore spending. Well, you might, that's a tempting answer. But the fact is that there may be a reduction in borrowing and therefore investment spending. But remember, there was also an increase in government spending. And the increase in government spending caused interest rates to go up and created an excess supply of money. Reduced the demand for money, leaving an excess supply of money, and that stimulates the economy. So economic activity, if anything, is going to increase, not decrease. So the correct answer is, will result in both an increase in interest rates, also an increase in prices and or economic activity, the latter because of an excess supply of money. Now, I understand that this is a very hard question, and of course, this is part of the reason that you can do well on this test without getting a high score, because I don't expect everybody to get a question of this level of difficulty correct. Okay, moving on to question 21. Choose the most complete answer. What is derived demand? We discussed derived demand when we discussed supply and demand. And I pointed out to you that we had a model for demand in which the level of demand depends on the prices of substitutes and complements and tastes and so on. And I pointed out that that is a very good and useful model, but it does not, it may not be the best model to understand demand when you're discussing the demand, for example, for nails, when everyone knows that the demand for nails depends on how many houses that are being built. I mean that the demand for nails is derived from the demand for houses. The demand for transmissions for automobiles is derived from the demand for automobiles. Derived demand is illustrated by an increase in nails because of an increase in the demand for new homes. All right, question 22, choose the best answer. When the government spends more than its tax proceeds, the result is a deficit and government borrowing. Your instructor believes what? Well, you must have been present for the lecture, and you need to, or you can review the recorded last lecture. But your instructor believes that borrowing is perhaps appropriate if the government will spend the money on something yielding benefits over a long period of time. For example, winning an important war or creating a national park. Now we come to question 23. Assume that the Fed is successful in keeping the money supply constant, and suppose the economy is in an unemployment equilibrium. Earlier in the semester, we learned that if government spending is increased or taxes are cut, there will be no change in total economic activity. Only interest rates will rise. But in that reasoning, we left out an important fact, namely, when interest rates rise, this causes the demand for money to decline. Now, my question to you is this. If you take that additional fact into account, now an increase in government spending or a tax cut will, the question is, will what? The answer to this question is based on the same ideas as for question 20. And so I won't bore you with a repeat of the reasoning. Just remember the correct answer is that tax cuts or increase in government spending will increase economic activity. Question 24. Unlike an increase in quantity demanded, an increase in demand, and the correct answer is both C and D. C says can be caused by an increase or decrease in incomes, and D says can be caused by a change in the price of a substitute for the good. So the answer which refers to both of those is the correct answer. Now, on one version of the test, there was an error in that question, and we corrected it. But the correct answer is the one that refers to two other answers. This was a review from early in the course. The page reference for this is page 60. Quantity demanded is measured by movements along either along the demand curve. A change in demand is signified by a shift of the demand curve. Now, question 25. Choose the best answer. According to lecture, inflation, even if fully anticipated by everyone, is harmful. The answer is harmful because it is more difficult for people to make rational economic decisions when prices are changing over time. You could also get this answer from the book. The page reference is page 149. The main point is that inflation makes it more difficult to make decisions, and therefore the chances are increased of making bad decisions, and bad decisions are inefficient. And now we come to the final question of the exam, question 26. Between 1960 and 1983, the price index rises from 80 to 120. Over the same period, your nominal wage rises from $10 per hour to $12 per hour. Assume your real wage was $20 in 1960. Then in 1983, what will your real wage be? And just above the question, there is a formula, FR equals IR plus FN over IN times II over FI. And using that formula, we just have to plug in the numbers. The real wages was 20. The initial real was 20. The final nominal was $12 an hour. The initial nominal was 10. The initial index was 80. The final index was 120. So we have 20 times 12 divided by 10 times 80 divided by 120. And if you calculate it out, you end up with the answer 16. So the correct answer is 16. And that concludes this discussion of the test.